Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And this morning it's going to be man power. Now, you may say, gee, Donna, isn't that a little bit strong man power? No, it is not. Because it has been my awareness, both as being a minister and a counselor and interacting in the studies of mind for most of my life, that there's a paradigm that exists of uniqueness around the male as well as around the female. My guest today, Ray Arata, has dared, and I say that with an emphasis on dared, to step up and step out, to speak up as a man to help other men. Now, those of you that are listening, you gals, you say, oh, for heaven's sakes, am I really going to want to listen to this? Yes, you are. Because too frequently, women do not have the opportunity, and I use that word with a great deal of thoughtfulness, they don't have the opportunity to really understand the differences in the way a male may think. If you're a single mom raising a son, this book could be invaluable to you. If you are a teacher and you're wanting to understand how to effectively work better with men than this, and with young boys, this is a book that I think can take you a long way to understanding many things. If you're a counselor, it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. What is it? Wake up, man up, step up. This is a powerful title, but more than that, it's written for men so they can wake up to the understanding that they can have a rich life. And we're going to be talking right now with Ray Arata. Ray, it's a pleasure having you as a guest.
Thank you, Donna. It was a pleasure hearing you say all those wonderful things. Thank you.
Ray, I will tell you, as a professional counselor and minister, there have been so many instances where I have had women say to me, the men in my life, and it could be their father, it could be their brother, it could be their husbands, they say they act like children. What is it with men where they don't want to grow up? And before I went on the air, I was talking with my husband, and he said, Donna, I have told you for years that women, for some reason, when they go into puberty, they have this maturation that occurs, but men have to be taught by other men how to be a man. And I thought I'd share that with you because this is something that very few people have tried to address. And your story is a very poignant one. Would you share your story? Because I love your description about how you had to get hit over the head with a Volkswagen.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, in as condensed a fashion as possible. I'm the oldest of three kids, was born into a family with a father who, a German-Italian father who was a judge by profession and an Italian mother. And you talked about how the young women get taught, and therein lies the conundrum that is why everything is so pervasive with men these days. The model of what it means to be a healthy, masculine, grounded man has not been out in the mainstream. And so it just gets passed down from father to son, from father to son. So that's what happened to me. And so my dad's a great dad, modeled some good masculinity things for me. But from an emotional awareness perspective, didn't show it to me. And so it took me, like many other men, to go through life to get what I call a wake-up call. That wake-up call could be anything from a divorce, which it was in my case, and I got the double whammy. And what happened was in the span of a couple of weeks, I got the I'm done speech from my wife at 1 o'clock in the morning after we moved into our brand new house. And a couple of weeks later, my business partner left with clients. And my manager came in the office and said, Ray, you know, God, you act so out of control. And he walked out of the office. And my partner looked at me and said, Ray, you know, I got to agree with him. And so I'm sitting there in that defining life moment going, you know what, I've heard this kind of stuff at home. I've heard this now at work. I've got to do something. And so I walked down the hall and knocked on my manager's door. And he said, come on in. And I said, thank you. And he kind of looked at me befuddled and said, what are you thanking me for? I said, for being honest with me enough to tell me to shape up. I got to do something different. And he said, close the door. So I said, okay, fine. He said, here. And he hands me a brochure for a men's weekend, an organization called the Mankind Project. And he said, you know, go do this. I can't tell you what's going to happen, but if you're ready to look at yourself, you can change your life. And with that invitation from another man, I went into that space of being taught by other men to become emotionally aware, to learn what accountability is, what integrity is, to get out of my head, per se, and into my heart. And and there was a whole new area of my body that I hadn't really known how to get to, but and it was there the whole time. And so that was in 1999, and so there's a lot more to the story, but that's the most important part of the story that sent me on my journey.
You make a comment about, and I'm quoting directly from your book, our country, you use an expletive, our planet is in a mandemic. And you say a shortage of emotionally mature men who need to step up. Boy, this is something I have encountered over and over and over again. And I look at this and I have nothing but the deepest respect for those men that have been able to step up. But what you bring out in the book is that there is this aspect of personal responsibility and accountability that men need to have. And by being around other men, as you were, who were mature and who were accountable, they weren't into dogmas. They weren't into, you know, this whole idea and perception of what I call the archaic masculine image that just isn't cutting it in today's world. And so many guys are really feeling lost. They're just absolutely feeling lost because they say, well, gee whiz, if I act like a Viking, there might be a few women out there that like it, but it's sort of smelly, and if I try to hit them over the head with a wooden stick, they'll probably get out an M16 and shoot me. So, you know, it's women have changed in their positioning. They're no longer wanting, they're becoming more educated. They're saying, wait a minute, I want something that's going to create more of a partnership. And there's these wars that go on all the time, and where women are coming into a stronger positioning, men are finding that their world has changed so much. Let's talk about how someone can go through it. You talk about the 7 growth stretches. Give us those perspectives.
Yeah, so when I thought about, when I was writing the book, I realized I needed to meet men where they were at. So where they're at is emotional pain. And when a man is in pain, the first thing he wants is for the pain to go away. And right after that, he wants to be told what to do in many respects. So that's usually a guy loses his job or his girlfriend leaves him or there's a divorce or there's a health or a death scare. And I realized, okay, because of the thousands of conversations I've had with men, that's a really, really important point where I can get them to commit to themselves to go on what I call their men's journey. And so I thought about these growth stretches, and I tried to use like some sports metaphor for these guys to say, okay, if you want to get out of this pain and you want to move forward and you want to flip this negative event into a positive and have a full life, are you willing to make these promises? So the first one is, you know, you have to be willing to look at yourself. And what does that mean? And on top of that, you have to be willing to learn about yourself. You know, the third one is be willing to learn from other men who have gone on their journey just like you, or maybe there's some men in your life that have taken a mature path and they've modeled the kind of qualities that you aspire to be, right? And then the fourth one is be willing to learn about those who influenced you. So another way of putting that is your mom and your dad or the parental equivalents influenced you in one way or the other. And to be interested to look at that or confront that is going to give you as a man a lot of insights, right? So, you know, when you were a kid, mm-hmm. you watched your parents and what they believed and did influenced you in positive and negative ways. And so it's important to be willing to look at that stuff. Now, where the rubber hits the road is when you have to be willing to act on new choices. And so that can be a scary moment for a guy because he's done things a certain way his whole life, and now he's looking to see that that's not netting him the kind of results he wants. So if you go into that place of personal inquiry and you start looking at yourself and learning about yourself, well, the next thing to do, guys like to get into action, is to start acting in a new way. The next one, and there's two more, is being willing to take responsibility for your actions in the past and in the future. That's the accountability piece that I really drive home with guys. Mm-hmm. Once they wake up and become aware of the impact they've had on other people, in order to walk forward, it's not too dissimilar to 12 steps when you take inventory and you make amends. It's about, you know, if you have created a disconnected state with other people in your life and you want to be a better man, well, be willing to take responsibility, own your piece in this, and resolve to act in a new way that sends new messages to those people that you care about, that you care about them, right? Mm-hmm. And last but not least, be willing to apply what you learn to your everyday life. So this isn't a one-shot deal.
I really like the clarity that you have here. And I think for women, if they read the book, it can give them so many insights into the differences in thinking. But as I read through your book, I thought there is more in harmony than disharmony with the thinking of the male-female. It is just how you view it. And this book for men is just, I think, a wonderful step up for them. One, where they will realize they're not alone. And two, that there are options for them to work with. And I think so many times in today's culture, it is so it's so oriented towards the female because of the positioning she has been in for centuries. And now this is coming about into a different positioning. And we see in different cultures in the world a lot of anger over this because it's scary. Change isn't something that comes easily to any of us. And you make the point about how men don't like to ask for directions. And 90% of the time, this is true. And we laugh about it, but just about every woman I know will say, I'll stop at the 7-Eleven if I'm lost and say, gee whiz, or wherever, can you tell me where I need to go? Where guys will say, let me figure it out. My own husband does that. And I'll say, why don't you just stop and ask for directions? No, I'll figure it out. And then an hour and a half later, maybe we figure it out. Or finally we stop and ask for directions. And you see, this is part of the indoctrination the male has gone through. So here you're presenting something that says, let's empower the male. Let's not emasculate him. Let's empower him in what he really has, his strength, so that he can bring his life into full balance. And I love the story about how when you woke up, the relationship with your children changed. And this is something that was so significant that even to this day, as adults, they still interact with you, this trust and confidence. This is so important with kids. Tell us how you did that.
Well, when I was in those early painful moments, I remembered something my former wife used to say to me. And she said something that, you know, you are a 50% father 100% of the time. And when I had to face and not be able to change the fact that I was going to go through a divorce and that I was only going to have my kids 50% of the time, I flipped that percentage and said, I need to be 100% father 50% of the time when I'm with them. So I realized from the pain of you know what didn't happen for me in childhood and the rich time that I was going to have with my kids that I really needed to work on being present with them. And given that I was just starting to wake up and learn about emotional wounding and what happens to young kids, I had this added responsibility that kept me aware and awake that what I used to say is my kids were like little 24/7 video cameras recording and watching everything, listening, paying attention. And so with that responsibility, it basically, helped me bring my love and my focus and my attention, my recent learnings into my parenting.
And that enabled you to develop the trust and the communication with them, and they were able to adapt to the divorce and other things in life, realizing that life isn't a straight line. You're going to have ups and downs. But it allowed you to make a connection with them that otherwise you may not have had if you hadn't gone through this process. I want to bring into perspective also the chapters where you deal with the father relationship and the mother relationship. And when we first started talking, you talked about your dad. He obviously was a very responsible person, a very caring person. In your book, you say, "We men are a lot like our fathers, warts and all. And maybe you had a super mom that was trying to be a dad. The imprinting you received from your father or the male equivalent is part of the script that you've been following all of your life." Now, that's a very powerful aha.
It is. It's the granddaddy part, and consider the pun, of the book, Father chapter.
Very important.
And when I was writing the book, as you know, in the book, there's roadmap steps.
Yes.
And from a wake-up, which means in my proverbial book, become aware, it's awareness is the first step for men. Man up, which means emotionally grow up, that's where the work gets done. And I realized that I could only go so far with a book, but what I wanted to do as best as possible was just get the guys thinking and to think about their influences. And so with respect to being like your dad, warts and all, from all the work I've done over the years, you often hear a man or a woman say, "I'm never going to be like him," or "I'm never going to be like her." And they shut out that part and they park it inside themselves and they don't deal with it. And the truth is, until we can admit that we are like him or we are like her, it's going to show up unconsciously in our relationships. So I thought, why not look at the areas where dad can influence us? Because I've seen so much behavior with men traced back to the relationship with their father and the mother, that why not give them these questions to ask of themselves, and they may have their own insights and ahas.
And I think that is a big step. That is a huge step. But what I really liked was you're saying you need to be around men. And there are some organizations and groups that are wonderful support groups that you mention here. And you bring out a point of how the father and how he treated the women in his environment has a deep impression on the psyche of the young man, young boy, and or any other males that he sees. And we see this culturally. I see this across the board in cultures around the world. And we can look at it. We can see it clearly. We have got peoples that are indoctrinating young men, no more young men than young women. And this is nothing new. This has been done for a long, long time, for centuries. And they're following very, very destructive patterning. And they don't value. They are covering everything up. They're just saying, well, I'm going to follow this. I don't want to think. I don't have to think. But how women are treated, when we look at the domestic violence levels that are occurring, not just in the United States, around the world, most of this is done by men. Not that women haven't been violent towards others. There's that. But they're usually in the minority. The males are predominant in this. And this is something that what you've just said is especially significant, because usually that is a reflection of a disturbance in their thinking and in their emotional self. And it is awful.
I couldn't agree with you more, Donna. And one of the things you may not know, but is next week on May 1st, I'm launching a crowdfunding campaign to help launch my mission, which is by 2015 to provide 1 million men in crisis the practical guidance, tools, and inspiration to prevent and resolve conflict in their homes, workplace, and communities. And we're going to be crowd-authoring a second edition of the book, inviting people from all over the world to send in stories where an emotionally mature or immature man impacted you. And violence, abuse, is the angle that we are looking to take responsibility for, so that people, they can send in their stories, whatever the case may be. And exactly for the reasons you stated, that's why I've made it my life's work to make the change, to embody the change, to invite men to join me as part of that change, if you will.
Mm-hmm. It's so important. It is so important, because only when we can get at the core cause, and that is what your book is about. You want to empower men to get to the core of who they are, so that they honor and respect this part of themselves, so that they do not allow themselves to become emasculated. And this really resonated with me very strongly. And I think of a client of mine. He was a young man in his 30s. He had gone through a divorce. He was such a fine, fine human being. And his name was Ken. And I'll never forget the day when I got the call where he had died from a heart explosion. His heart literally burst on him. And I can remember talking to him through the years that I had known him, and he carried so much pain inside of him that his body just couldn't take it anymore. And he had divorced, he had the custody of his children. He had no one as a male that he could really speak with. And he needed that so desperately.
I just
think of him, and I can remember the ache I felt, because I thought, here is such a wonderful human being, and the pain and the suffering and the feeling of failure and all kinds of stuff that he carried within himself built up so much that his heart actually exploded. And this is something that I don't think men realize. And coming from the heart, it doesn't mean you become a wishy-washy, fishy person. Not at all. It means that you touch and you become aware of who you are as a human being, and that you have a very important role to play in life. And I think your book goes a long way to that. Let's address the mother side, because there's a lot of single moms out there, and there is this part of the female, and I can say this because I'm a woman, that many women want their sons to become like surrogate husbands. They treat their sons in such a way, but they honestly don't understand the thinking of the male and how important it is to have good male role models for their sons, even though they may not have a husband in their space. Let's talk about this for a bit.
Sure. You know, so the first thing that I would invite your single mother listeners to acknowledge and be and accept and be aware of is you don't have what he needs in that 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old time frame, what he needs to develop as a man. You can love him and be a great mom, and you've done a great job nurturing up until now, but the best thing that you could do is find and screen quality males in your life and invite them to participate in your son's upbringing. That's probably one of the most important things that I could share with women. There's weekends out there that young men can do, but, you know, for the in and out, you know, week in, week out travails of life, to have that other influence is really, really important.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to quote from your book. You say, the impact of society's shift is that many boys and men are searching for what it means to be a man in today's world. They're functioning from an outdated model of what it means to be a man, using an incomplete reference that does not serve them in their relationships and lives. And we, at the beginning of our chat, you know, I made a ridiculous comment, but it's so true. Now, how do you feel the mature males of today are redefining that role model so that the young men of today can feel like they have really a valid place in life? And they do.
So I think about this all the time, and what I advance to men is that being a real man today is an inside job, and that it's not the rugged exterior physicality, whatever the case may be. And so when I invite a man to reclaim himself and become aware, be emotionally mature, step up, live a life of accountability and integrity, be emotionally masculine and healthy, make decisions, take risks, know oneself. Ask any woman how she'd like it if you showed up in that way.
It makes a difference. Now, we have so many role models that are just so dysfunctional. I look at it and I go, holy Moses, who are these guys? Who are these Mickey Mouse personalities? And something that I think that men don't realize is that if they have daughters, and you bring this out in your book, how they represent themselves has an impact, a strong impact, on the type of men that their daughter will associate with. You have to realize, as males, your role, if you are really fulfilling your role as a mature male, you're going to give a wonderful example to your daughters, to young women that are perhaps in need of help. And that's why I feel like male counselors that are really together, working in domestic violence situations, being available as counselors to women who honestly have not seen a good example of what a well-grounded, intelligent, loving male is, period. Not should be, but is.
It's the real simple things. Like, if I'm that male influence in my daughter's life and I model listening and an interest in what's important to her, that's going to give her an experience that men can listen, that she wants to be with a man who will listen to her, a man who will challenge her, a man who will love her. And the same thing with my boys who are 18 and 16. Right now, it's all about accountability and making sure that when they say they're going to do something, that they do it and that they understand the impeccability of their word. And when I'm able to bring what I call, you know, soft love when it's needed, or the hard love of truth, I have to constantly go back and forth with those aspects of my behavior so that they can see it and feel it. So when they're a little bit older, they'll understand it because they will have borne witness to it.
Well, I'll tell you, Ray, I think that you have done an incredibly good job with this book. And you do have online programs, and there's other materials that you've designed to support men so that they can become more in harmony with their own core, with their own essence, and be able to take whatever life has handed them and to be able to restructure it if it has been very negative, and if their behavior is negative, if they're finding their relationships, their jobs, people don't want to be around them because of how they're acting, or they find that they're constantly getting slapped down for one reason or another, and that just, oh, the world stinks. No, the world doesn't stink. Who you are and how you conduct yourself really makes a big difference. And this is something that you really have dedicated your life to, and this has ended up being a phenomenal journey for you. You have a website, yourmensjourney.com. your
Actually,
men.
I want to make a correction there.
Okay.
Thank God for my PR people. The website that I want to direct people to is erratacode.com, A-R-A-T-A-C-O-D-E. And the interesting thing about my name that they pointed out is that each of those letters form an acronym, and therefore it's a code of conduct. So A is for awareness, R is for responsibility, A is for accountability, T is for tenacity, and A is for acceptance. So when they go to my website, they'll see that there's an errata code for women, an errata code for men, and an errata code for companies. So, you know, much of this stuff that we've done and talked about with respect to men and women, the fatherly influences, all of that is bearing out in the corporate world around gender equality. And so I have the good fortune to be pointing out to leaders, both men and women, to look back and remember these early male role model influences to see that they affect how they relate to men and women in the workplace. And things are very exciting with Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In. A lot of good stuff's happening.
Absolutely. Ray Arata has been my guest. Ladies, have the book. Read it. It will open your eyes to so many things, giving you perspectives you never have had, perhaps, any male share with you. But Ray Arata has done that. Wake up, man up, step up. Guys, I really think you'll find that you've got a friend here and that it's something that's going to empower your life in a very special way. And if you have sons or nephews or a brother, an uncle, another guy that's going through some challenges, maybe just sit down and read a chapter at a time and share it with them so that they can feel like they have a power in their life that they can assert for themselves in a way that is going to make not just their life richer, but it is going to ripple out and touch everybody that they come in contact with. Ray Arata, thank you so much for being my guest on today's show. Continued success, and I hope when you come out with your next book that you'll send me a copy.
Thank you so much, Donna. It was great talking to you today.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. We've got a lot of good things to share with you today. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, that's right, you can call in and get a free reading on the air. I love to light up life with a little bit of insight. Using the talents that mean so much to me, call me at 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Now, for those of you up in the far north in Alaska, I am going to be on my way. I will be up in Fairbanks, Alaska on the 29th of April, and then on May 2nd, I will be in Anchorage, Alaska, staying there through May the 6th. So if you would like to meet with me, call me at my office, 253-582-5604. Would you want to be a human lightning rod? I don't think so. Well, usually those people that have been described as human lightning rods haven't asked for the opportunity to have the experience. And when it happens, Whoa, big impact. Sometimes people, as you know, when they're hit by lightning, they're killed. You'll have stories like Daniel Brinkley tells where it totally transformed his life. It physically damaged him quite seriously. But here he is today, but it transformed his thinking. And, of course, there's many of you I know that have already been made aware of his story. But I wanted to share this story with you. We're going to be stepping back in time to 1946. Mm-hmm. Kenton, Ohio. This was in May. There was a man by the name of Charles Brown. He was struck by lightning for the 10th time. Now, can you even imagine that for the 10th time? Where was he? Was he out standing on a piece of ground around a bunch of trees? Where was he? He was in a public library. That's right. He was in a library. He was checking out a book when he was hit by lightning. Now, he's one of the few individuals that have been recorded as a human lightning rod. Now, there was another man, Roy Cleveland Sullivan, 7 times over 36 years. He was a forest ranger, and in 1942, he was on duty in a fire lookout tower. A lightning strike hit him, removed totally one of his toenails. In 1969, lightning scorched his eyebrows, knocked him unconscious. In 1970, he was in his own yard. It burned his shoulder. In 72 and 73, lightning hit him, and it burned his hair. And what he started to do, he started carrying a container of water around him after the first incident. And he used it to put himself out after the second incident, which, by the way, when it hit him, he was in a vehicle. And it tossed him out of the vehicle, and one of his shoes fell off. In 76, a campground lightning strike injured his ankle. It hit him again in 77. He was hospitalized with burns to his chest and stomach. And do you know the Guinness Book of Records have every one of his ranger hats, each of which was burned from all of these experiences? Now, there's a guy named Sparky. Yep, that's the nickname he got because he was hit 4 times. The first time he was struck in 1978 when he was a bull rider in the rodeo circuit. He happened to grab the handle of his pickup just as it was hit by lightning. In 1996, he said lightning hit a tree, went over to a street light pole, knocked the top of it, and followed the cable around to where I was working on it. It went through my arm and then back out my chest. Wow. 1999, he was holding onto a swing chain when it struck. 2005, lightning blew a hole in the bottom of his shoe. He said, the guy that rides in the truck with me, he wants hazardous duty pay now. No kidding. That's right. Human lightning rods. Now, when you think of it, when you think of being hit by lightning, you'd expect that it would go through your entire body. And again, there have been people killed when they've been hit by lightning. But burning a hole in a shoe and not bothering anything else? All of these things show that there is energy that we know hardly anything about. Why is it that it will follow certain patterns or execute certain, I will call them actions, giving certain results? Who knows? There's so much we still have yet to learn. But I thought that story was an intriguing one, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about food, glorious food. Who doesn't like food? Well, I guess there's a few individuals. But I enjoy cooking. I enjoy food. And sometimes you get so frustrated because if you're like me and you always say, oh, if I eat all that good stuff, it's going to go past my lips and stick for 17 years on my hips. Well, so many of us have attitudes that have become ingrained about food that make us think food is our enemy, and it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be your enemy. It's understanding how food can be a delightful pleasure, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And you don't have to adopt the attitude if you eat something that it's going to stick to your hips for 45 years. You just don't need to do that. But it's hard to get out of those mental patternings, isn't it? It's hard to look at a beautiful creation, a dessert. I was watching a cooking show yesterday, and this woman, oh, she just did this marvelous job with meringue, and she had the berries on top of the meringue, and it just, oh, it was just gorgeous, and I was salivating. It was a beautiful dessert. The key was that this is something you can share with others, and one of the aspects of her program was that this was prepared for a party, and everybody there was going to have a slice of this delicious, beautifully made dessert. Well, how many of us, when we think of dessert, we go, oh, no, I can't have that. That's bad. Of course you can have something. So why not have that experience? We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. And then we're going to dip into a bit of the unusual. Karen Berg is going to be my guest on Thursday. We're going to be talking about To Be Continued, which is all about reincarnation. Do you believe it? Do you not believe it? Do you think it's nonsense? Well, let's chat with Karen, because she has some interesting, well, perspectives to share. And then, how to create sacred water. In my mind's view, water is liquid gold. We cannot live without it, period. This magnificent planet that we live on is covered to a great degree by this miraculous stuff. So how can we make water healthy? One of the biggest challenges we've got is toxicity. What can we do to make a difference with water? Well, we'll find out. I think you'll find her story an excellent one, and I really feel that you are going to enjoy what she's going to share, some wonderful exercises there. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we're going to be taking a break for just a moment pretty soon. Hey, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. When we come back, I've got a touch of the unique and the unusual in the way of a story to share with you, and a story about a young man who ended up becoming a first-class cook. Aha, yes, when we come back. More to share with you. Give me a buzz if you want to chat to, let's see, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Don't forget, if you're up in Alaska, I'm going to be traveling there, radio shows, etc., that I'm going to be doing up there. Give me a buzz if you'd like to set up some time with me. I'll be in Anchorage as well as Fairbanks, and my office number is 253-582-5604. Well, if you watch the show on television, if you are a food channel observer, you like to do it. I don't have the opportunity to watch it, the food channel, as much as I like. But there is a show called Chopped. It's on the Food Network channel. And this is about a young man by the name of Lance Natahara, or Naitahara. And Lance is someone that ended up taking a journey that he never, ever expected. And it started because of his wife. That's right. His wife did it. She enrolled him in a cooking class when he was 23 years old. In fact, at his birthday, that was her gift to him. And he said when he won the prize for the championship cook-off for the show Chopped, he had beaten a woman by the name of Joanne Magris, who owned a restaurant in New York City. And there was a $10,000 grand prize. Well, he did something that I don't think you hear of very often. He said, I'm going to take a different positioning with this prize. But before I tell you what he did, let's go into a little bit of his story. He had been around his dad when he was growing up, and his dad was an entrepreneur. And his dad was in the window shade business, you know, helping people's homes look more attractive. But he wasn't interested in that at all. But the one thing he loved to do was spend time in the kitchen with his mom. He absolutely loved being around her and being involved in the cooking process. And she used him as her official taster. She'd say, okay, I fixed this. Tell me what you think of it. And he said, this isn't so good, or that is great, Mom. Well, she had a bread pudding recipe that he just absolutely adored. And he said, how come this stuff turns out so good? What are you doing? And she said, cooking is about sharing. That is the secret. And I would use a different word. Cooking is about loving what you're preparing. And that automatically, believe it or not, is transferred in to the food. Well, when he heard that, he said, the secret to what? When he got married, he and his wife would make dinner together just about every night. And he was always experimenting with different seasonings, et cetera. And he said if she brought home like a fillet of some type of fish, like one of his favorites was a tuna, he would prepare each piece of that fish differently. And they just had a fabulous time. Well, his wife figured, this is what I can give him as a gift, a cooking class gift. And so he learned right in this first class how to make hollandaise sauce for Eggs Benedict. And he went home after his very first class and he said, this is what I want to do. I had a blast. I absolutely love cooking. So he enrolled at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. And he said, when you're around people that share your passion, it is just amazing. Well, he got an internship at a Greenbrier resort in West Virginia. And he kept questioning himself because he was out of step and walking his own path. And so this was an exploration into who he was. And then he accepted a positioning of being chief chef at a particular camp, and he said when they were watching the Food Network and they happened to see the show Chopped and they saw that there was this competition going on, he was told by his wife, you want to enter this, you belong there. And he said, okay, let me try. So he did the interaction that was necessary to get him registered as a contestant, and he kept going up and up and up and up because his creations were just so absolutely wonderful. Well, in the finals, he gets there. And he had the questions always in the back of his mind. Why do I love doing this? Who am I really serving? Now, the winning dish, and this is really going to sound weird, the winning dish was a honey cough drop ice cream. It was made from a basket containing duck eggs, russet potatoes, farmer's cheese, and honey herb cough drops. I know, this sounds wacky, doesn't it? Along with a chocolate gnocchi frito. Weird? Mm-hmm. Most of us, our toes might curl when we would hear the Connie cough drops. Now, the Lady Yvonne that I mentioned that he defeated, her grandmother was very, very ill in France at the time that this contesting was going on, and she had wanted to win the money so she could go visit her grandmother and be with her before she passed away, because she knew this is what was going to evolve. And during the competition, he and Yvonne had a chance to chat, and that's how he learned about her grandmother. And she said to him, "My grandmother means so much to me, I can't tell you how much I love her." So when Lance won the competition, he said, "My wife and I really needed the money. $10,000 for us was just an amazing sum. We had bills to pay." But he said, then there was like a little voice that whispered to him, "It's all about the sharing." Remember the two questions? Remember the two questions he would always ask? Why am I doing this? Who am I really serving? That little voice said, "It's all about sharing." When he went on stage and the host of the show handed him this $10,000 check, they asked him a question. "What are you going to do with the money, Lance?" And he said, "I would like for you to bring out Yvonne, please." They did that. And he shared part of his winnings with Yvonne so that she could spend her time with her grandmother in France and say goodbye. Now, he said he's teaching at this time at Flint Hills Technical College in East Central Kansas, and he loves the teaching. He said it's his way of giving back all of the joy and the love of food and cooking that he's always had. He said it's the ultimate sharing. And his honey cough drop ice cream is one of the best dishes he's ever made. Now, I want to share this. I don't have that recipe right in front of me, and I think that I will share his mom's recipe for bread pudding, which was one of his childhood favorites, and to this day he absolutely loves it. And it was one of the items that he was presenting in the competitive environment that he was a part of. It's all about the sharing. It's all about taking whatever you've learned and passing it on. It's about growing into the best that you are as a person. That is what life is. So whether you become a chef, a mechanic, a computer software designer, a person that designs packages for service dogs, it doesn't make any difference. But it's being in touch with that part of yourself that is exceptional. It is being a part of that self that says, "Wow, there is joy in what I'm doing." And that is what life is really about. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul, not someone else. But your mind, body, and spirit belongs to you. It belongs to you. And you need to have integrity and honesty with yourself, so that you can then pass that on as part of your life's legacy, so that you can empower other people to light up their lives and their path with their own power. Wow, isn't that great? I think it's exciting. That's what I love about doing the show. I like to think that the people that bring their gifts of their experiences, their wisdoms, their knowledge, their tears, their joys, when they share it with you, I like to think that maybe it's planted a seed in someone that I may never meet, but they become richer because they have listened and they have heard. This is Donna Sebo. Enjoy your day. It is a wonderful gift to be alive, and count your blessings because you do have a lot of them. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, and we're going to be talking good food. So won't you join me? Tell your friends. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.